I do. I am convinced of it.
Why?
Because Joshua believes her.
A strange rationale.
Joshua is more than a superlative captain. In all my years, I have never come across anyone quite like him. He behaves execrably with women and money, and even his friends on occasion. But, if you will excuse my clumsy poetry, he is in tune with the universe. He knows truth. I put my faith in Joshua. I have done so ever since I signed on with the Lady Macbeth, and I will continue to do so.
Then there is an afterlife.
If not, I will live on as part of your multiplicity. But Kelly Tyrrell has been convinced that there is. She is a tough, cynical person. She would take a lot of convincing such a thing could be. And, as now appears likely, if there is an afterlife, I have an immortal soul, and death is not to be feared.
And do you fear death?
He rose out of the iceberg's umbra cloak. It was similar to emerging from a dark layer of rain cloud into clear evening sky. There was only a remote, diaphanous shimmer of dust left above him. Grammin shone like a second-magnitude star 40 kilometers away and drifting towards him.
Very much.
The hovercraft slewed and bucked on the river, tossed about by whitewater waves swelling over semi-submerged stones. Theo was concentrating hard on keeping them straight and level, but it was tough going. Kelly didn't remember yesterday's journey up this same river as being so difficult. She and Sean Wallace were sitting on the rear bench, clinging on grimly as they were slung about. The propeller droned behind her.
Already I feel wearied by the journey, daunted by what we are attempting. This is not even snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, although it might be termed a last vain attempt to salvage the team's dignity. We came to this planet with such confidence and high ideals. We were going to vanquish the evil invader and restore order and stability to 20 million people, give them their lives back. Now all we dare hope for is to escape with 30 children. And even that will tax us to the limit.
Such a warrior, Miss Kelly, Sean smiled congenially. The hovercraft swerved, pushing her against him. For the briefest second the channel to her sensorium fleck recorder block dropped out, and he smiled politely as they righted themselves.
You mean I shouldn't be worrying?
No, I never said that. But worry is the devil's disciple. It rots the soul.
Well, you'd certainly be the one to know all about souls.
Sean chuckled softly. Kelly glanced up at the red cloud. They had been under it for half an hour now. It was thicker than it had been yesterday, its constituent tresses twirling sluggishly. Somehow she was aware of its weight, a heaviness necessary to blot out not just the sight of space, but the physical laws governing existence. A complex intertwining of associated emotions defeated her, as though she was sensitizing some obscure Xenox ceremony.
"That cloud means a lot to you, doesn't it?" she asked.
"Not the cloud itself, Miss Kelly. That's nothing. But what it represents, yes. That's like seeing your aspirations take form. To me, to all of us damned souls, it means freedom, a precious commodity when you've been denied it for 700 years. Kelly switched her attention to the second hovercraft, with Horst Elwes and Russ sitting on the bench behind Ariadne, faces ploughed up against the biting slipstream wind. Cannonades of thunder thrashed overhead as if the cloud was the taut skin of some gigantic drum. She saw Russ push himself closer against the priest. The simple act of trust was immensely poignant. The privation dropped upon Sean Wallace without the slightest warning. He experienced a dreadful exodus, the flight of souls expelled from the universe, exerting a tidal force on his own precarious possession. Their lamentations and enmity spilled back from the beyond in that eerily pervasive chorus, and then came venomous anger of those who accompanied them on their expulsion. Those they had possessed, all of them preying on each other, hating each other. The conflict permeated his skull, wrenching at his thoughts. He gagged, eyes widening in shock. His face betrayed an emotion of uttermost despair. Then he flung his head back and howled. Razor never wanted to hear a cry like it again. The outpouring of anguish compressed into that one cataclysmic ball spoke for an entire planet. Grief paralyzed him, and loss so profound he wanted the universe to end so he could be spared.